Welcome back to Money Talk with MoneyWeb on Radio 2000. For a wrap of the day's markets activity, we turn to Simon Brown, who's founder of Just One Lap. Good evening, Simon.
Hey, Pranisha.
Now, Simon, at this time of the year, it can often feel like there's a bit of a lull in activity. Firstly, before we actually get into what was happening on the markets today, how did trade hold up? Is trade holding up?
It actually did. So we did 17-odd billion today, which is not, I mean, the average is probably 2022, so a little bit quiet. But we've got a futures closeout on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So really, that is when the lights get turned off. And that futures closeout happens at 12 o'clock. And as soon as that process is over, then the volumes disappear. And you know, next week and the week between Christmas and New Year, we'll see days of under 10, even under 5 billion. Remember, Boxing mm-hmm. Day and 31 December are half days. Mm-hmm. All those public holidays lurking around as well. So certainly trade war clubs. But we're still happening. Not much news flow to drive it. Fed on Wednesday, locally not a lot happening, but it's that closeout which really keeps us alive.
Mm-hmm. So that closeout, once that happens,
So Thursday we'll have something, but then it really just disappears. So it is always fun. I like to look at the announcements made next week, and particularly the week between mm-hmm. Christmas and New Year, because if you want to try and hide something, this is a time to try and hide it. Except really you're wasting your time, because I'm not the only person who's caught on. But I remember the one company who released a sense at 1 o'clock, which is half an hour post-close on Christmas Eve. And of course, every journalist in the world went and looked at this, because you know there's something there. And I forget the details, but there certainly was some weird stuff. Some companies will do AGMs at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve and stuff like that to try and hide it. So, you know, it got some interest fact, but you know, these are not investment grade companies really. I mean, it's like Visual today put out their update around their results, but trading update, what they didn't make abundantly clear is that these results were due 6 months ago and they're currently suspended for not having released them or the previous set and the like. So those sort of stocks are probably going to drop us some news. But I mean, at the moment, we're really going to be driven on, much like Sasol today, mm-hmm. and the oil price and some rand strength. We're going to get driven on the bigger stuff, because there's nothing really happening locally at all.
Nothing really happening locally at all, but we did see the oil share come under pressure from around midday, eventually closing about 0.75% down. What was behind this turn?
So the market opened strongly in the back of Sasol. It was all looking great. And then just a general sense. So some Rand was helping to a degree. But I think there's still, we saw banks getting sold. We saw retailers getting sold. They both had a fairly decent-ish, banks more than retailers, mm-hmm. last week, after not being downgraded by Standard & Poor's the Friday before. So we'd seen a nice run there. I think a lot of folks are really going to be saying, you know what, let's take that money off the table, mm-hmm. let's move it into cash, let's head down to the coast for our holidays or the mountains or wherever it might be. So we're going to start seeing a bit of gradual selling. Typically, we get a Santa rally at some point. Mm-hmm. That week between Christmas and New Year is I can't remember a week when it wasn't green. And I've got a stock standard trade, which is on the Christmas Eve, I'll take a long position, and then on New Year's Eve, I will close that long mm-hmm. position. And I don't know that it's ever actually lost me money. Sometimes it doesn't make you a heck of a lot, but sometimes that week is 3-5%, because there's no one really around. And what you're seeing is you're coming up to the month end, the quarter end, the year end. So some of the fund managers are like, well, let's try and, you know, get a bit of price action going. You know, if you've got a large holding in a particular low liquid stock, maybe you can move some stocks a few percentages, make your fund look a little bit better for the year and the like. And there's no opposition. Everyone else out there is like, hey, you do your stock, I'll do mine. The sellers are gone. I think a lot of folks taking money off the table post mm-hmm. a decentish week last week, and you know, didn't get downgraded and everything. Mm-hmm. And retailers to a degree, banks to a larger degree, have run hard, although particularly in the retail space, they're still cheap. You know, Woolies mm-hmm. around the 66 level is still a cheap stock. Mr. Price, which I think fundamentally has got some issues, but on a historic, if you've seen Mr. Price mm-hmm. at plus 200, you're looking at this and thinking, sure, look at that, nice and cheap. And there's good reasons. Mm-hmm. Woolies, I don't, but markets are gonna take some profits every so often.
Well, you talked about taking some profits, and what we have seen is the agreement between the OPEC and non-OPEC countries to cut their crude output over the weekend, giving Sasol some room to run. is a sustainable short-term rally. People going to take their money off the table now. That share price up 4%.
So Sasol doing nice. Sasol back above the 400 for a while. Certainly the trade on Sasol's been 360 to 400 for much of this year. You buy it at 360, you're a happy seller at 400. You've made 10%, and typically it then goes back to the 360 where there's strong buying support at this point. The biggest story is OPEC, and I don't buy the OPEC story at all. OPEC is no longer the powerhouse it used to be. They don't, you know, back in the 70s, they controlled 80% of the global oil supply. They really could manage that price. They now control 35, 40%. They don't have the level of control, hence inviting non-OPEC members in. But let's go back to the first OPEC agreement of week before, which excludes Libya and Nigeria because of the complications they're having. A cut of a million barrels a day, Libya and Nigeria can pick up that slack in no time. Yeah. Then you've got to say, well, are the other members keeping their promises? On average, 85% of the time, members do not keep their promises. And as soon as your price gets too high, sort of $60, $65, the US frackers come on board. And they, you know, all OPEC can really do is try and keep that oil around 60. They can't get it much above that. And I think around 60 is probably a reasonable price. As someone who buys petrol in South Africa, I prefer 40. As a Sasol shareholder, I prefer 60. Yeah. So I'm conflicted. But I think oil's probably, you know, if we look forward to 2017, I think it's probably 45 to 50, 55, maybe some dips higher and lower. But that's the sort of range which is going to happen. And we will see more production coming on, because if you are an oil producing nation, forget quotas, you want to pump as much as possible, assuming you can pump below whatever the current price is, just to generate revenue. The idea that you'll cut production and prices will go up and you'll make, too complicated. Pump the stuff, take the money.
But we also did see that earlier this year, when there was a lot of pressure in the oil market. We had the oil sands region in Canada. There were blazing fires there. Niger Delta Avengers took out some of the oil plants in Nigeria. There were issues in Libya. There were issues in the Middle East. And the oil price didn't actually increase that much, only about $2 or $3 at the time. And that's because the market is still in oversupply.
The market's still in oversupply and chronic oversupply. I mean, there are you know, if you've got capacity to store oil, which is not easy, it's expensive. You know, a barrel's not that big and it's costing you, you know, currently $55 odd. And oil degrades with time. But there are tankers sitting off coastlines holding oil, waiting. Well, today they're probably unloading for the better price. We still have oversupply. We have more supply coming on. The frack are a significant game changer, and all of that in a global economy which is moderately doing okay. You know, America's doing fine, China's doing okay, but Europe's not. A lot of the emerging markets are struggling. This is not a booming global economy that is significantly increasing demand for oil. So supply side is still significant overweight. And that, as you say, all sorts of things go wrong and oil moves a bit. So really the move today is more on hype, more on traders. I don't think sustainable. I think it'll start to fade in the next day or three. Certainly, you know, by this time next week, it'll largely be forgotten. And then we start seeing the numbers coming through, and OPEC hasn't got the level of control that it needs. You know, Russia needs money. They're going to pump oil. Sorry, OPEC, nice, but no. So it's a game they're playing. The market plays it. If you're a trader, it's great fun. If you're an investor, you know, ignore it, move on. You know, I always say, if you drive a car, you've got to own Sasol, because they automatically hedge each other. Petrol goes up, your Sasol goes up. Petrol goes down, your Sasol goes down.
Well, Simon, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this evening. Thank you very much, Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lap.